Yes, fantastic to have your company on another busy morning here on the Big Sports Brekkie. Laurie Daly and Michael Clark alongside me, as you heard. Guys, fantastic night of sport. As always, always some talking points when it comes to a Monday and a Monday night off the back of a big footy weekend. From a rugby league side of things, interesting news out of Penrith with co-captain Nathan Cleary expected to miss up to a month of footy. Not so good the news for the Parramatta Eels either, with Mitch Moses set to miss up to 3 months with a fractured foot. All eyes on him and his recovery. There was comment from Graham Annesley in regards to the Taylor May situation and Reece Walsh's facial fracture. We'll touch on that in two ticks. South, the discussion points continue in the AFL. Well, we talked yesterday at length about 2 metre Peter's upcoming tribunal visit, and that is certainly going to be a talking point throughout the course of this morning as well. And AFLW, we actually have a Swans player coming on, not from AFLW, but we do need to potentially ask him about the two Sydney Swans AFLW players that were charged by police with possession of an illicit drug late last year. That story across most of the morning papers, which we'll go through a little bit later on. How are you, Loz?
Good, thanks, Benny. Some big news coming out of both Parramatta and Penrith yesterday with the announcement of both halfbacks suffering injuries. But I think the main concern will be with Mitch Moses being out likely 8 weeks. I know that they're saying that Nathan Cleary might be out for up to a month, but they've got two games and then a bye. So you think he might only miss 2 games of football, whereas Mitch Moses, he could miss up to 10 games. And the type of form that he displayed on the weekend was first class. And they will miss him going forward. And starting with this Monday's game when they take on the West Tigers. The Tigers themselves had their first win of the season and would have taken a lot of confidence out of that. So it's going to be whoever replaces both these guys got big job boots to fill. It's likely that Brad Snyder will come in and replace Cleary at the Panthers, but we're unsure of what they'll do at Parramatta. But to miss Mitch Moses for that amount of time will certainly hurt Parramatta's chances.
I did watch a lot of footy across the weekend, but was it expected that these guys would be spending so long out? Nathan
walked off at the end of the game.
Relatively innocuous.
Yeah, and there was no indication after the game that he would be missing for up to a month. Now, he walked off, so not really limping. So I think that he'll miss those 2 games, then plus the bye. Even if it's 3 games he's missing, that's not a big part of the year, and I think Penrith will be able to cope. Mitch Moses, though, that's a different story for Parramatta when you're talking long term, up to 10 weeks out with a fractured foot. And he's their key playmaker. I know Cleary is for Penrith, but I think they'll be able to be relatively safe bringing Snyder in, because I think Snyder's actually a good player, and every time he played with the Raiders when he filled in was fantastic. So I think they've got a player there that can do a job, next man up mentality, and Penrith will come out of it okay. But yeah, Parramatta, that's a tough one for them, losing Mitch Moses, because I think they're playing good, tough football at the moment. The brand of footy, offloading, stretches opposition defence, but Mitch Moses' kicking game is so important to them. And that's where they'll miss him.
Morning, Michael.
Morning, boys.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Happy Tuesday. I think Mitch's is real bad, because even if it's a fracture, they'll have to put him in a boot, because if it doesn't heal, that can get out of control bad. That's off your leg for 12 months. It starts as a stress fracture and just gets worse and worse. So he has no choice with a break. He needs that break to heal. It seems to me like Cleary's probably tweaked the same hamstring he did last year, Loz, and that's why if he's walking like that, it's really 10 days. If it's a genuine grade one tear, it's 10 days and
really,
he's back.
Yeah.
But I reckon they're saying, you know what, we're planning for 4 weeks because he's tweaked the same hammy as he did last year, and we're just not going to take any risk with him. I'm surprised.
Yeah. But also with the
and they got the bye as well.
Like, why would you risk him?
Why all three half, like the best three halfbacks in the competition, all out injured?
Yeah, and all different injuries. Yeah. Reynolds' knee,
interesting, isn't it?
Medial ligament.
Start of the year, is that?
Yeah. Well, a lot of front rowers injured too. A lot of forwards.
Yeah.
you know, I mentioned on the Matty John show the other night, you know, like Jai Arrow, shoulder, needs an operation at some point, so he's going to try and manage the shoulder to get through the season.
Yeah
Tom Gilbert, go down, round one. Tino, Fasua Mawali, he's out for the season. There are a couple of big losses too for Queensland.
Yeah.
Especially Jai Arrow, Tom Gilbert and Tino.
It just makes me think about our conversation about a month ago when we started talking about Origin, and then the three of us, you, Middo and I, sat here and all of us just went at the same, you know what, let's not even waste our breath because there's definitely going to be injuries.
You just don't know.
And if you look at, right, like I say, for New South Wales right now, our best three halfbacks are injured.
Yeah. But, I think the two of them, Cleary will be right. But you don't know. You're right. 100%.
Like, imagine if Origin was on, you had to select Origin this week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point too.
And that's just the sport, isn't it? You just, your wishful thinking is you got all players available.
Mate, you just got to be
prepared.
Well,
as you mentioned, that's a massive hit, losing Tino.
Tino is.
Yeah.
He's a guy that played big minutes. He took on Payne Haas and took on all the comers for New South Wales, the big boys, and confronted them head on. So without him, they lose a lot in their forward pack.
We'll get plenty of texts throughout the course of the morning, I'm sure. And that SMS number is 0419 767 272 and 1353 53 for those who are keen to call. We've got all of our usual segments, including a new and innovative concept called Pressing Matters, which I'm looking forward to not too long at all. About 10 past 6, we'll launch into that. Then we'll take your calls. Adam Pengilly's going to be on the show. Damien Cook, the Bunnies hooker, will also be joining us. I did see a question from Curly in regards to Cookie, which maybe we could touch on now if you want, Loz. Early days, Uppy Carousel at South's lack of form. Could it make it hard for Cookie selection in Origin?
Oh, most definitely it would. Yeah, I think Madge has made it quite clear that he wants players in form, coming from form teams. And if you look at, you know, what Queensland have been able to do the last couple of years, the Queensland sides have been performing well, the majority of the Queensland sides. So Billy's been able to pick players in form and have the confidence that they will deliver on the State of Origin arena. And sometimes it's always difficult to pick players when they're not playing well in clubs that are losing. So I think Madge has put everyone on notice that he wants players in form. So not a great start for South Sydney, and obviously not a great start for Cookie. But look, they got too much talent in that team to not fire a shot at some stage. And I think most of us are expecting it to happen on Thursday.
He cannot start on the bench again.
No, he can't.
That was a mistake. Yeah. If it was about having impact in regards to making everyone feel like, you know, you pull your socks up, or I don't care who you are, I'm going to bench you or drop you, I understand
Well, the changes didn't work. The changes didn't
work. No way.
The halfback change didn't work.
No. And they've got to have the courage to own that as well, though.
Yeah. But he wasn't too bad, Dean Hawkins.
Yeah.
But it just...
He wasn't better.
No, that's exactly right. You know, but I think, as we kept talking about yesterday, it's just the effort areas of the game that need working on for South Sydney. And you know what? They've got to stick together. I know it's easy to say that, but if there's any fractures in that group, we'll find out on Friday, because this is a game I think they can win. And the Bulldogs are playing good footy, but if they go 0-4 to start with, then they've got the Warriors and the Sharks. If they can't beat the Bulldogs, then they're going to struggle the next 2 weeks, and then who knows what may happen leading into the bye.
I think their players handled the media very well yesterday. They've come out and said they're a tight-knit group. They've come out and supported their coach. And I know that's what you have to do, but sometimes you can see a little gap in communication between players when it comes to a team sport. And I think yesterday they handled it really well.
Yeah.
Now it's not what you say, it's what you do. Yeah. Now they've got to get a result.
Yeah, they've got to get a result. They've got to get it through effort, and they've got to get it through the way they defend.
Yeah.
Because if they defend well... They've got ability with the ball. There's no doubt about that. But first things come first. You've got to do the tough part of the game. And you've got to enjoy doing that. And you've got to have a sustained effort at doing that for 80 minutes. And when you go through a bad period in a game, don't leak as many points as what they have been.
James Jordan, the Sydney Swans midfielder, is going to be joining us a little later on the show as well. Around 20 to 8, we'll get to speak to him. And I can't wait to pick his brain on what's been the key. Now, the Swans have looked absolutely fantastic thus far. They do have a couple of off-field things, I guess, from an AFLW standpoint. I've already mentioned that. And I am intrigued to get an update on Harry Cunningham as well, who was concussed on the weekend, and maybe even James's thoughts. I'm sure he'll be a little limited in what he can say with 2 metre Peter heading to the tribunal. But with that in mind, we'll still put it to him. Brad Davidson is going to join us as well. Lots to talk about on a racing front, and hopefully he'll have a tip for us. Danny Widler is on the show as well, and Jared Daffy to run through all of the markets that we have with tab.com.au. A few texts already coming through. One suggesting that if you were to be picking a New South Wales team right now, you'd have Brooksy in.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Two games.
I'm just trying to think of what the other combinations would be, what other halfbacks are available. You put me on the spot there, Benny.
Oh, sorry. That's in saying the three, New South Wales players are out. Yeah, okay. Well,
I'd have to look at the teams. I'd have to have a team sheet in front of me.
Who are we missing?
There's obviously someone that we're missing. But, look, Brooksy has played some really good football. Some really good football since he's moved over to Manly. And I think that's off the back of not having the responsibility to guide and direct the team around. His running game is superb. He's got other players that draw attention away from him. You've got Cherry Evans. You've got Tom, you've got Ola Kawatu out there on the edge, and their forwards are doing a great job, Manly. And the way they played and started the game last weekend, where they moved the ball, it was a high-paced game, skillful game that Manly played, and they were outstanding.
You're in the gun. Anonymous.
Oh, you can only, before you read that, you can only imagine who sent that message. Please do not waste your breath on him.
What is it?
We let him go to the keeper every day. Don't open the door today. That stupid message at the top there. You know who that's going to be.
I had other commitments.
He's the text message narc. Yeah. That's what he is.
How come I wasn't at the Laurie Daly Cup and Andrew Johns Cup final? Well, that's easy, Ben, to answer. I had other commitments.
Yeah. Mate.
So that's quite easy.
Because you give sometimes, your name to something as well, it doesn't you mean have, you need to be there all the time.
Sometimes you have things on that you can't get out of.
Hey, speaking of which, yesterday was a big day in your house.
Yes, it was. My wife's birthday.
Take her out? Did you go for dinner?
No, we didn't.
Did you cook a dinner?
No.
Did you do her ironing?
No.
You buy no present?
No present. No, I don't.
No birthday present?
I did that for our anniversary, but I didn't do it for the present.
I'm opposite to Loz when it comes to that. I'm a big celebrator.
Your love language is gifts?
No, I love giving. Yep. I love celebrating milestone. Birthday, Christmas, if it was anniversary, that stuff, I'm a big fan of it. I like making the most of those days. But in saying that, I was never married for how long?
25?
I was never married for 25. Yeah.
50 times my record.
Yeah. I think I would imagine if you listen, you know, to anybody that's married for 25 years, they say, you spend all that time together, that some things do change.
I'll tell Maddie the key to a long and loving marriage is no presents. I'll let her know that.
It might have been different when he was dating as well. I think married for 25, you probably, the rules might change a fraction.
Getting back to the halfback position, Nico Hines. Yeah, a couple of people.
Of course.
A couple of people have texted him.
Yeah.
Nico would be next cab off the rank.
So, Brooksy, your first reserve for now. Welcome back to the Big Sports Brekkie. Time to run through the back page headlines across the country's major papers. And it's fair to say on the telly, the injuries to a couple of key players in the NRL that we've already touched on are certainly prime and paramount there. But the news that two Swans AFL players have been charged over possession of an illicit substance is certainly one that has made headlines across the country, but particularly in Sydney. So this is a little different to the situation in the men's competition, where we've seen a player suspended, the difference being that this was out of competition. So if you are caught by police out of competition at a pub or club or something of that nature, you're not beholden to the same rules as if you were caught with, say, a positive drug test on game day.
Correct.
So for anyone who's comparing the two, that is the difference between them. Now, you could argue they should get the same penalty. That's not for me to say. Mm. But they are the rules. So if one's in-competition testing. You can cop a suspension, which, as it turns out, can be quite severe. And then if it's out of competition, you do have to pay the penalty from the police and the courts.
But it's no difference to... There's a different penalty between performance-enhancing drug and social drug. There's a different penalty.
True.
Even in competition, if you're caught with, let's say, cocaine...
It is the same drug in this instance.
Yes, but, I understand but that. Yes. But what I'm saying in general, just for the understanding about the difference in the policy, out of competition, in competition, there is a difference. But then the drug, particularly in competition, being caught with performance enhancing is automatic 4-year suspension, unless that's changed. But then a social drug is a different penalty.
Well, and it's not just applicable to sports people either. Say, for example, mining, where you regularly get alcohol and drug tested upon arrival. If you were to test positive there, I think there's every chance that you may lose your job or face a suspension from work for a couple of months, years, whatever it may be, right? Whereas if you were done at the pub or club, it may be that work's completely unaware.
Yeah, okay.
You'll get a fine or you'll end up in court. Ooh. I think they'll probably find out if you end up in jail. But they are different in that instance. But one aspect that I do find interesting, Laurie, is AFLW, while growing and building each and every year, and we're starting to get to know heaps of the players. We have them on the show pretty regularly. There is one perk to a little aspect of anonymity, and that is that neither of them have been named. If this was a men's Swans player who was caught with drugs by police and
that'd
went
be a massive
to court,
story, yeah.
It would be a massive story.
Yeah, yeah, and I understand that. But the drug laws in AFL are different to a lot of other codes in Australia. Is that right? Can't you self-report?
You can self-report
and ring, and then it's no strike, and you get three strikes.
I don't think it's no strike. I think there's cricket's the same.
Is it?
So let's say I go out
and have a night out, and then wake up the next morning.
Someone spikes my drink, for example.
Yep.
I wake up in the morning and I think someone spikes my drink.
I ring
the doctor straight away. Now, I don't know what happens after that. I would assume there's a process around. You might need to go and get tested. Because especially if you've got a game the following day or 2 days later, whatever it is, you might need to go and get tested to check if you do have a substance in your system.
Yep.
Now, I don't know. I can't imagine you can do that three times or five times.
I thought there was something with the AFL. Now, I don't know whether they changed it, but I'm sure there was a story around the AFL. You would ring and self-report, and that was okay.
No, the criticism in the story at the time was in regards to mental health. So you can be put onto the mental health registrar, and if that is the case and you've self-reported, that is exempt from a strike. There was a claim that was being manipulated.
Yes, it was something around self-reporting to allow you then not to be tested, or if you were tested and you self-reported, then you didn't get a strike. I think they changed that rule, though, didn't they?
No.
It still exists.
Oh, the other thing as well, in cricket, and I'd imagine in all sport, there's a certain... I think it's definitely your first cross, and it could be your first two crosses. It stays private between team doctor and yourself. It doesn't go to... It might necessarily go to Cricket Australia, for example, and it certainly doesn't get released to the public, the players, the media. So I think it's on your third occasion, that's when it becomes public.
And a lot of clubs don't like that because they've been caught in the past where they've signed a player that's had one or maybe two strikes.
And they don't know about it.
They don't know about it. They come to your club. They get another strike, and then all of a sudden they're out for 12 weeks.
Fair enough.
And the clubs are going, hey, we didn't know anything about this.
Mm. See, I'm just looking today. I'm just looking now on our screens at Today Show, and they're, same story we're talking about now. They've got, I don't know who the lady is. So they haven't been named. They obviously know exactly who it is. They've got someone's face attached to it. So they must be named.
The names are out there.
Okay.
But some outlets aren't naming them. And
to protect
are.
Them.
And I can only assume that is down to who determines what is in public interest. If They don't think it's of public interest to name them. They won't.
But how? Okay, I haven't read the actual story. Can you? I see the headline: two Sydney Swans women players caught with cocaine. So caught by who? Police?
Police. And so, they went to court.
So then how?
So they're named in court.
So how can it not be named? If I'm done for possession.
Yeah.
If I'm done for possession,
it's all over.
It's front page news before I even go to court.
Well, don't do that.
What I'm saying is, though, how can you not name them?
Well, that comes down to various media outlets will determine. They will essentially play adjudicator there.
That's not selective journalism at all.
I'm not saying it's right, but that is how it will play out.
But their names.
No, they should be able
what
to
I'm
be
saying,
named.
But hang on, this is not legally they can't be named. You're saying they're just choosing not to.
Yes.
Yeah, but then, mate, it's now or once it touches a media outlet, like it has, they are going to be named.
But their argument would be if they're not household names. Now, I don't agree with it, for what it's worth. I'm just making the point. If they're not household names, the point will be, what's the point in naming them? If it doesn't add to the story.
Well, they name everyone else.
Yeah, but I think if it as soon as you are known, if you got done for possession,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It would still come out in the media that was you. Mm. You haven't played 100 NRL games for the West Tigers.
But if it was one of my mates,
of course,
who was anonymous to a lot of people, if he got caught, he'd be named.
I agree with that. I think especially as soon as you're in the media in any way, if you're a professional athlete, but I think, of course, they're going to be named, though.
Do you know one of them?
No.
I'm not
covering for anyone.
No, but I'm confused what the conversation is. Like, I'm saying the fact that it's taken so long to come out, and it's not a front page article, shows the difference between sports. Because if this is an NRL player, it's front page news.
Yeah. Completely agree.
So, but at the end of the day, it's going. If a female athlete, a female AFL athlete, a female cricket athlete, a female swimmer, if they get caught with this, it's going to come out. That's a no. It's no brainer.